Welcome to episode 456 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology. Usually, every once in a while, we throw some other stuff in for fun, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Can I title this from the beginning? This is going to be the Thunder and... let's go with the Thunder and Blackout Edition.
Ooh, let's hope not.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
Thunder is one thing. Blackout would be kind of a problem. kind of want you around for this podcast. So hopefully you don't lose power during this episode, because everyone, not just me, everyone would be at a loss without your contribution.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Yeah, especially when we're gaming heavy like tonight.
We definitely have a fair amount of gaming news, but it is most definitely not our biggest news. Our biggest news of the night is that we don't have any listener feedback.
Woo-hoo! Actually, wait, that was the wrong reaction. Sorry. Let me go back to my soundboard.
Ooh. Right. So for next week, we expect to get lots of messages from you all. If you want to use email, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com is the address, or head on over to the website or listen around at the very end of the show to get all of our contact information. But no, for realsies, we do have a pretty big featured story, because this weekend, completely out of the blue, I was not expecting this, Richard. I don't think you were expecting this. Our friends over at Silicon Dust, the lovely folks that make the HD Home Run TV tuners, announced a premium TV streaming service.
Yep.
I was shocked.
Yep. I remember you sent me a message. I think it was like Sunday or Saturday night or something. Like, did you know about this? I didn't know about this.
Right. Because you just spoke with Ted, the CEO, Ted Head, the CEO from Silicon Dust, just a few weeks ago. So I wasn't sure if he had let you in on the little secret that this was coming, but apparently he didn't.
No letting in. However, we were in communication with him today to get all the details on this. So why don't you run us through this? Because this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. So the idea here is that Silicon Dust is basically launching their own streaming video service that's similar to something like a YouTube TV, Sling TV, DirecTV Now, that sort of service where you pay them a monthly fee and you get access to a bunch of channels that you would normally get through a cable TV subscription. In this case, you're getting 45 of the most popular channels available, most of them, for $34.99 a month. Real quick caveat, this is currently only available in the United States. It will be coming to Canada soon, although I wonder if the channel lineup will change once it hits Canada. In terms of channels, you're looking at most of the really popular ones like USA and Sci-Fi and AMC and FX and TNT and TBS. If you're into news, you've got you know, the big ones, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CNBC. If you're into kid stuff, it's a little bit less there. You've got the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon, which are definitely the two biggies. And then in terms of sports content, you've basically got all of the ESPNs. Unfortunately, that's where the sports content ends. For me, a lot of the stuff that I like to watch is on NBC Sports or on the Fox Sports networks. You're also not going to get some of the other somewhat more regional sports channels.
All of those are typically premium, though, aren't they? I mean,
a lot of them are. Some, like the NBC Sports and the Fox Sports, not as much. Like with Sling, they've got that crazy Sling Orange and Sling Blue. Mm. If you go with Sling Orange, you get the ESPN stuff. If you go with Sling Blue, you get the NBC and the Fox stuff.
Got it.
Yeah. And then the more regional stuff, like the Big Ten Network and the SEC Network and stuff like that, those aren't here. And as you said, those typically are add-on packages to other channels. So that's not super surprising that those aren't there. They're definitely more niche channels. And I think what Silicon Dust was trying to do here was hit, you know, get channels that are going to appeal to just about everybody, that everyone's going to be able to have something that they want to watch here. Oh, I forgot to mention what I think at this point might be the most popular cable channel. I really wonder if it is HGTV. Like, does anybody watch anything but HGTV anymore?
It's always
it seems
on.
Like that's all I hear.
It's always on.
Yeah. It's just House Hunters all the time, right?
House Hunters everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Handsome Rob in the chat says it's on the background in his house right
now.
Of
course it is.
Not surprising. It is. Everyone watches it all the time. So it's absolutely a necessary channel, and it's here. So they've got this service now. How do you watch it? And this is where things, I think, really start to get interesting. There's already an HD Home Run app. It's on basically everything, and all of the stuff just works right inside of the app. So you do have to have an HD Home Run tuner, and it does have to be an over-the-air tuner. This won't work with the HD Home Run Prime, which kind of like their reasoning for it is, well, for us to do that, we'd have to get the HD Home Run Prime recertified, and that's a big, expensive, long process. No one wants to deal with that. The more, I don't know, sane reason is if you've got a cable card tuner, you're already paying for cable. Why would you also buy this? Like, Richard, you've got an HD Home Run Prime and a cable subscription. You're probably not all that interested in the service. But me as a cord cutter with an HD Home Run Extend, I am interested in this.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely one of those packages that people who are into cutting the cord are going to be attracted to. What I think is really intriguing about this is a completely different approach, right? Like, you don't have to have one of those supported boxes or supported services already. You can just kind of bundle this into what you're already using for over the air. So you get an integrated solution, and that is so cool, right? Like, you're just going to get all of those channels mixed in together in the same viewing experience. Now, I'm not a big fan of the HD Home Run viewing experience. I've made that really clear both to our listeners and to Ted, for that matter.
Right.
But that's not your only option.
No, it's not your only option. Because the HD Home Run Tuner is supported by so many other services like Plex. Ring the bell. Here's our weekly mention of Plex on the show.
Oh, there will be more.
This even works inside of Plex. Now, right now, to get this working inside of Plex, it's kind of a mess. And I think the people over at Plex are working on that, because if you've set up an HD Home Run over-the-air tuner inside of Plex previously, then you've got your guide set up to say, all of my channels are over-the-air channels. And now you've got all of these channels coming in that look like cable channels, and it can't figure out the guide data stuff for it. So you, to do this inside of Plex, you have to delete your DVR setup inside of Plex, which means deleting all your guide data, and more importantly,
your schedule.
Deleting all of your schedules, all of your scheduled recordings, all that stuff is going to need to be set up again.
Right. Now, you don't lose your existing recordings, obviously, because they're on your local storage somewhere or your LAN storage, but you would need to set this up again. You know what? I don't know. I have a hard time believing that that is such a big deal when all you have is over the air channels. How many things could you be recording? Maybe a lot. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. If you've only got an over the air antenna, you've probably got somewhere between 6 and 20 channels that you're pulling in, and you're probably mostly just recording from the main four networks. So you probably don't have 30 scheduled recordings to reset up.
But as a warning, in deference to some of our listeners, if you have a spouse for whom you're recording soap operas, don't forget to set them up again.
Oh, yeah. You better write everything down before you do this. Now, that's all kind of a hassle. Fortunately, there's another solution. HD Home Run has their own DVR, and this is where things get really cool, I think. If you're using the HD Home Run DVR, you can use that to record these streaming channels. Like, that's kind of nuts, especially when you compare it to how DVR stuff works with some of the competitors to the service. Like YouTube TV, you can record, but it essentially forces you into the VOD model where, you know, with video on demand viewings, you're forced into watching extra commercials all over the place. With Sling, you have to pay extra per month to have, and I think it's $5 a month to have access to the DVR. And you have limited storage on all of these DVR services and stuff like that.
And some channels can't be recorded on some of these services.
Right. That's another really great point. Whereas if you're running your own HD Home Run DVR, you've got as much storage as you want. And here you can record whatever you want, whenever you want. And it's just, it is what it is. It's kind of like the olden days.
Are we 100% sure of that? Because that's a huge differentiator if that's the case. There's no program-specific flagging going on here.
There's nothing mentioned in the FAQ or in any of their information that I found. But I guess I didn't ask Ted specifically that question.
Mm, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, the big things here that I'm most excited about, it's available everywhere that HD Home Run apps already exist. So Windows 10, Xbox One, Mac, Android phones and tablets, Android TV, so your NVIDIA Shield, iOS devices, it's all over the place. It's integrated directly into the experience you're already using. I think that's huge. And then that other big one being that you can record this just like your over-the-air channels. So I think all of this is pretty awesome.
Well, I want to add one more thing to that. Like you just mentioned this is kind of built into the things that you already use. That means it's built into the guide experience that you already know and use and arguably prefer. That's why you're using it, right? So unlike right. Hulu or YouTube or any other streaming TV service that has a completely different and separate guide, this is what you're already used to.
Right. And it's no bouncing in and out of apps. You know, if you were trying to use like an Xbox One with the over-the-air tuner or something, and then supplement it with Hulu apps and Netflix apps and ESPN apps and all this other stuff, then it's bouncing from app to app to app. And that's annoying. People don't actually like doing that all that much. So having all of it in one guide is really, really nice. Now, there's a couple of downsides that I do want to point out, and that those are, as with everything related to the HD Home Run, whether that be watching live TV or their DVR service, all of that stuff is only available through your local home network. If you're traveling, you can't access this stuff through the HD Home Run app. Now, there's some kind of workarounds. Like if you set this up through Plex, you can stream Plex from your home network to other devices, mm-hmm. but that's kind of a weird workaround. The other one that I think people who are watching media on the go like this or away from home are used to is the ability to sign into apps like the USA app or the Watch ESPN app and things like that with their cable provider credentials and then just watch on their mobile device from wherever they are.
Right.
And unfortunately, you can't do that either. The way that HD Home Run has worked their contracts with the content providers, there's nothing like that in their contract. So access to the stuff is only at home unless you're kind of doing the Plex workaround. And we keep saying Plex, but it's not just Plex. MB has ways of accessing your HD Home Run tuner, and Kodi does too. So there's lots of options here. We just tend to focus more on Plex.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So a couple final points for me. I don't know if you're ready to close this out, but one, no BBC America. I'm really bummed by that. That's a network that I watch pretty regularly. That's not included here. It's not surprising because that isn't in a lot of base lineups from streaming providers, but
right.
That is something that I usually look for. And in fact, I paid extra for the cable service that I had for a long time so that I could get that in HD because that was a part of the premium HD tier. The other is that where's my Prime 6? is this a oh, look over here kind of thing going on?
I really don't think it's a look over here thing. They've obviously been working on this HD Home Run premium TV service and the HD Home Run Prime 6 at the same time, and it's just a matter of this was ready now and the Prime 6 isn't quite ready.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in terms of launching and stuff, frankly, I thought it was kind of weird that this officially launched, like the news for this broke on a Friday. Really? On a, like, you chose a Friday to announce this? That's when people release news that they want to get buried because everybody's on vacation.
It is weird. And the other timing that's weird, and I don't know if this is just coincidental or what, is that this is kind of like perfect timing for anyone going away to college.
Mm, that's true. See, I was thinking it's really great timing for start of the fall TV season and for start of the college football season, because college football starts like this coming weekend. And ESPN carries a lot of games. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So,
yep. Cool.
Yeah, it is pretty good timing for a lot of that stuff.
All right. So that is it for our feature. Let's go ahead and move on to other video news and, more HD Home Run. So we kind of forgot about this post that you wrote, Josh, when we recorded last.
Yeah, I don't know how I forgot to include a story that I wrote about, but I did. I'm dope. So yeah, this is a quick one. This is more HD Home Run news, and that is that a couple of weeks ago, they released a new version of the HD Home Run app for Android devices that now supports DRM. So if you have an HD Home Run Prime cable card tuner, you can now watch copy-protected shows, so maybe HBO shows and things like that that you're paying for, or maybe your cable provider just copy-protects practically everything. All of that stuff would now be viewable on Android. That's nice if you've got an Android phone. It's nicer if you have an Android tablet, and it's really nice if you have an Android TV device like the NVIDIA Shield TV. So I think that's all really great news. It could have been a block that was preventing some people from making the switch to an HD Home Run Prime tuner. So I think that's really great news. And you don't have to do anything to make this work. You just make sure you've got the latest version of the app and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Not quite letting go of that Plex bone yet. We have one more story related to Plex, and that is that the Plex Artist Radio feature, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but Plex Artist Radio is a feature that has been available on their desktop music app and also available on Roku and through their voice services, like the ability to play music over your Amazon assistant. The basic idea here is very much like Pandora, where Pandora will take in artists that you give and make a radio station out of it. And now that feature is being rolled out to more platforms, specifically iOS and Android, including the TV platforms. So if you use either the Android or Apple TV or iOS or Android mobile devices, now you have access to this. You know, this is something that a lot of people just kind of forget about. And frankly, it's one of the main reasons that I like Pandora and these kind of features, is that ability to kind of like rediscover music that you have forgotten about. And what's really cool about this is that this is doing it with your own library, right? This isn't Pandora saying, oh, well, based on these 43 factors, we think that you're going to like this song. It's based on music that you already have. So you're kind of rediscovering your library. I think this is a really cool feature.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's nice to see it expand onto those mobile platforms, which I think is where a lot of people are listening to their music. So that's great to see.
Now, where's Plex on Xbox, right? I want that. Why isn't that here yet?
Yeah, features do tend to take a little bit longer to make it over to Xbox, especially Especially the ones that aren't super video focused.
Well, I think that's because it takes them a longer time to figure out how to integrate it with that horrific user experience.
Don't hold back, Richard. Jeepers. Just giving it to everybody tonight. All right. Well, that's it for our video and our audio news. We're going to move on to gaming. Richard thinks this is going to take a long time because I have a lot of bullet points here. A lot of bullet points. Wow. I've got a ton of bullet points.
Yeah.
I don't think this is actually going to take that long. So we're going to start with a story called Everything Xbox Announced Today at Gamescom. And that's going to sound like a million things. It's not actually. So just a quick refresher. Gamescom might not be a conference that you're familiar with. It's essentially European E3. It is the next biggest thing compared to E3. In fact, in terms of people who show up to this thing, it's way bigger than E3 because they're insane and let the public into this event. So it tends to be, in terms of news announcements, a lot smaller than E3. You're not going to get like brand new consoles announced at E3, but there's still usually some good stuff. I think it was E3 a couple years ago when Microsoft launched the Elite controller, but I might be wrong about that. And so people were actually thinking that maybe there's a new Elite controller that's going to be announced, and there wasn't. That would have been cool. It would have been better than almost all of the things that they did actually announce, but we'll get into the rest of these. So kind of just in order of Microsoft's own announcements, PUBG PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds finally going to be a regular full real release on September 4th. That's going to bring some new modes and stuff along with it. Now, that makes me wonder how much longer until it's on PlayStation, because I wonder if this console exclusivity deal was tied to the preview, the game preview nature of this game. So now that it'll be out in full release, I wonder if the PlayStation follow-up won't be too far behind, but don't know, obviously. There was some Xbox Game Pass announcements, Game Pass being the subscription service where you pay $10 a month and you get access to download and play fully over 100 Xbox One and Xbox 360, actually even a couple of original Xbox games for as long as you have the subscription. Pretty big title coming to the service on September 1st, Halo the Master Chief Collection. This is like four Halo 1 through 4, I think, plus maybe another one. I don't know. It's a lot of Halo in one game. It also means it's a gigantic download. So that's cool for you Game Pass folks. Plus, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, they released a new app for Android and iOS. It's just the Xbox Game Pass app that allows you to easily browse the library of games that are available. And then right from within the app, you can say, I want this. Install this on my home Xbox so that when I get home from work or the store or whatever you're doing, it'll already be installed and waiting for you. They also, because this is the thing that they love to do, announced eight new Xbox bundles for the fall. Ugh. Yeah, we're not going through all of these. It's not worth it. But there's one worth mentioning. Most of these are just regular versions of the console, all of them being the 1 terabyte versions if it's the 1S, and then the 1X only comes in 1 terabyte versions, plus a game for $299 or $499 if it's the Xbox One X. The one that's special is the Xbox One X Gold Rush Special Edition. The thing that makes this special is not that it comes with Battlefield 5 plus Battlefield 1943. No, this one actually looks different. It's the first Xbox One X. I'm pretty sure it's the first Xbox One X that actually looks different. It has a black and goldish theme. I can't really describe this. It's not a video podcast. Sorry. It's really hard to describe this thing. Go and check it out. If you've been thinking about getting a One X, maybe this is the one for you, especially if you're into Battlefield with the new game coming out. You can get the game for free with it. They also announced 3 new controller designs because that's what Microsoft does. The one worth mentioning, they've got a new PUBG-specific controller. It looks kind of awesome. It's got this cool black, almost sort of like digital camo design. It's got a blue circle around the left thumbstick, and the D-pad has this cool, like, dirty gold sort of shiny metallic thing going on. It all looks pretty cool. It's $69.99, and that comes out on October 30th. They've also added a couple of updates to the Design Lab store. This is where you can go and design your own Xbox One controllers, make them look however you want. Now, they've got camouflage and shadow options that you can do, so you can go nuts even more with your Xbox Design Lab controllers. I still have my yellow and blue one, and I still love it, love it, love it.
Of course you do. I really want them to add the ability to have a color setting for the stock of the thumbsticks. I don't understand why they don't have that yet.
Yeah, because some of their best looking controllers, they've done that on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that would be really nice. And then Microsoft's last announcement from Gamescom is that they are porting is probably not the right word, but making 5 of their own games available on Steam. So ReCore, Super Lucky's Tale, Disneyland Adventures, Rush, which is another Disney Pixar game, and Zoo Tycoon are all going to be available for purchase on PC through Steam. So it's kind of, it's one of those moves where it's like, huh, Microsoft, they're not the jerks they used to be, right? Like, they actually make stuff for all sorts of other platforms. And this is just them playing nice with the Steam community. So I think that's great to see. Moving on from Microsoft at Gamescom, some other kind of big news for you deal hunters in the video game space. Amazon Prime, well, Amazon bought Twitch, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now at this point? And when they did that, they made a new service called Twitch Prime. They got you some benefits if you were an Amazon Prime subscriber. So like if you were watching Twitch streams, they would be advertisement free. That's going away. That kind of stinks for you as the user. It's probably a better thing for the Twitch streamers though, because that's one of the main ways they make money. So that's kind of a win-lose situation there. The bigger story, I think, though, is that Amazon is now ending their deal that they had been doing. It's maybe been a year tops that they've been doing this, where if you pre-ordered a physical game on Amazon, or I think if you bought a game within the first 2 weeks of it being released, you would get it for a 20% discount. So this was just like Best Buy's Gamers Club Unlocked, which also recently got discontinued. So that stinks. That really, really stinks. It's not completely going away though. Instead, what they're going to offer you is anytime you pre-order one of these games, you will pay full price, but you'll get a $10 Amazon gift card. So Amazon gift card, maybe better than Best Buy credits. Maybe. Depends on where you shop a lot.
Yeah, but I also think that, you know, that change suggests that there was a change in how the game houses or distributors are licensing this.
Mm. That could be. I mean, I don't really know the underlying business deals of how Best Buy or Amazon worked this. If Best Buy and Amazon were just eating the difference and trying to make it up by people spending more money in their stores, but I'm not really sure. So
yeah, but I mean, like, giving a gift card away is a like classic workaround to not being allowed to discount something or not recouping that discount from the manufacturer.
Right, because it doesn't impact the manufacturer at all.
Right.
Yeah. And this actually is something like, this is exactly like Best Buy, because Best Buy with Gamers Club Unlocked, you'd get the 20% discount, except it was all the time. Even if a game had been out for 6 months, you'd get a 20% discount. And then on some games, if you would pre-order, you would also get, in addition to the 20% discount, an extra $10 Best Buy gift card.
Mm.
Best Buy is still doing that for some games. Amazon is now doing the gift card for all pre-orders. So you are making out a little bit better there on the Amazon side. So you've only got a few days left. Right now, if you've already got pre-orders in, they'll still be honored. You know, if you've got Call of Duty or Red Dead Redemption or something like that pre-ordered, that 20% discount that you paid for it is still going to be valid. But if you want to get in on this, it goes away August 28th. That's when it switches over to just the $10 gift card model. So if you want to do this, you got to hurry. All right. Last major topic that I wanted to discuss here for our gaming news is probably the biggest announcement out of Gamescom was actually from not Microsoft, not Sony or Nintendo, but Nvidia. It's now been, I think, 3 years since the Nvidia 1000 series of video cards has been announced. And when I say 1000 series, I mean things like the GTX 1080 and 1070 and 1060 and that sort of card. This week they announced the 2000 series. So, and they've got a new acronym in front of the, it's not even an acronym, an initialism, right?
Look at you.
RTX. Right. So now instead of the GTX series, we've got RTX cards. And the new numbers are RTX 2080 and the 2070. There were three cards basically announced, the 2070, the 2080, and then the new monster, the 2080 Ti. And there's always great rejoicing when new video card technology is announced. What I was really hoping for, and I think what a lot of people were really hoping for, was that the new generation would also maybe hopefully do something to resolve the insanity that is the price of these things. And unfortunately, it's not.
I blame the miners.
It is mostly the miners' fault. But I'm not sure that the price increase here on these new things is entirely the fault of the cryptocurrency miners. So they announced, like I said, three cards. These are all the Founders Edition cards. So granted, Founders Edition cards from NVIDIA do tend to be more expensive than what you'll get when the other manufacturers start building them. But listen to these prices. The RTX 2070, so this is the lowest end model that they've announced, but it'll still be an amazingly powerful card, a card that is more powerful on paper than the current 1080s that are available, is $600. The RTX 2080 is $800, and the RTX 2080 Ti,
drum roll please,
oh my gosh, call an ambulance because I almost had a heart attack when they said $1,200 for this card. Are you kidding me? I can buy an Xbox One X and a PlayStation 4 Pro plus a bunch of games for that price.
Right. Right. And Rob in the chat is saying that's more than the desktop that I'm using to watch and listen to this now. Right. Right. That, right. Right. Now, granted, you can obviously get an inexpensive computer, but this is just insane.
Sure. Yeah, this is absolutely bonkers. The one good takeaway, I guess, from this is that we should see the 1000 series cards finally come down in price, right? Unless the cryptocurrency miners go nuts and just buy all of them once the price drops hit. But this is crazy. And It really makes me wonder, like, can PC gaming really sustain this? Because when the cost of PC gaming components just continues to go up, how many people are going to be left to buy this stuff? I mean, we complain about the cost of a $500 Xbox One X, and that doesn't even get you a video card here. And you've still got another $500 worth of stuff in the rest of your computer to even be able to play games. So I don't know. This doesn't give me good feelings about the future of PC gaming. Now I'm not going to chicken little here and say that this is the end of PC gaming. Nvidia is destroying the market. They're not, But I really don't think this is a good thing. And, you know, I've been a PC gamer for a long time, but I got sick of dealing with this crap. And I could really use a new GPU in my computer, but at these prices, it's not happening. I'm just going to stick with my Xbox and with my PlayStation and have really good graphics. Not this great, but that's okay. Games on my Xbox One X on my 4K TV look amazing. So I'm okay with passing up on this, and we'll get some of this technology probably when the next generation of consoles comes, and I won't have to spend this kind of money on it.
It's just such a strange situation. It's like the company that's best serving this space is potentially damaging it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So I haven't heard any rumors of AMD releasing a new generation of stuff, because their current stuff is more recent than the NVIDIA 1000 series stuff already. But man, I hope they don't follow suit. But as a business choice, it would kind of make sense for them to continue to sell things for even more money, because if people are going to buy it, why not? All right, that's enough of me on the video card soapbox. Let's move on to our regular deals. This week's deals with gold over at the Xbox store. There's some good stuff in there, and there's some DLC for games that you might own that you've been waiting for. So go and check out that link in the show notes. But the one game that I did want to point out is Nier Automata, I think is how it's pronounced. I don't know.
That makes sense.
I bought this game a couple weeks ago. It's been a little more than a month ago now, I think, when it was released on the Xbox One. I think it's cool. It's regularly $50. It's now $37.50. That's a lot more expensive than most of the games that we're promoting during this segment here. But it's a really cool game, and I think that if you're into this sort of game, it makes sense to buy it so that you tell the publishers that, yeah, you do want these types of games on Xbox. So I would check that out, and the rest of the games available in this week's deal with gold. Also, of course, a reminder on the Xbox Live Games with Gold. These are the free games for the month of August. We're now in the second half of August, so you still get access to Forza Horizon 2 all month long. In fact, you better get it, because news is saying that come September 1st, Forza Horizon 2 is being removed from the store. I didn't read the story. I'm pretty certain that it's probably because of music licensing issues. That's why these things tend to disappear from stores. Yeah, so grab it now while you still can, because it's a phenomenal racing game, and it's not super, you know, difficult. It's more of an arcadey racer that looks gorgeous and is so much fun. So go and get Forza Horizon 2. And then August 16th through September 15th is For Honor. This is a medieval, I think it's first person now. I can't remember if it's first or third person, but it's a medieval. Yeah, you know, if they were guns, you'd say first person shooter, but it's swords and maces and stuff like that. Pretty cool game available there. And then on the 360 side, Epic Mickey 2 for the rest of the month. And of course, it's backwards compatible and can be played on your Xbox One.
And you know I'm going to be getting that one.
You might even actually play it.
Maybe.
At least try it. It's Mickey. You're kind of
right.
Obligated.
We're almost related.
Wow. Okay. We're going to move on past that, and we're going to do something different. You know, you did the intro to the show tonight a little bit differently. You kind of did the old school intro to the show, but we've been sort of changing the direction of the show a little bit to make it a little less Microsoft focused and just more general consumer focused. And when we talk about video game stuff, that means there's that whole PlayStation world out there too. And PlayStation gives away a whole bunch of games for free every month also.
Great. So of course we're going to expand the gaming section.
I promise to keep this short. Partly because a lot of these games I don't know a lot about, because I'm more of an Xbox guy. But real quick, let's fly through these. These are called the PlayStation Plus free games for August. Just like on the Xbox side, to get these for free, you have to be a subscriber to PlayStation Plus, which gets you access to the multiplayer gaming stuff and, you know, very similar stuff to Xbox Live. So on PlayStation 4, you're getting Mafia 3. This is a really, really good third-person action game. You're also getting Dead by Daylight, which is a 4-versus-1 horror game, basically like serial killer horror game. One person plays the serial killer. The other four people are trying to survive. Sounds kind of cool. On PlayStation 3, you're getting Bound by Flame and Serious Sam 3 BFE. On PlayStation, they don't have backwards compatibility, so you actually have to have a PlayStation 3 to play those games. And then there's also still, and I thought they were canceling this, PlayStation Vita games for free. Vita is the Sony handheld console. Draw Slasher and Space Hulk, I've never even heard of those games, so I can't tell you what they are. And then you also get a free PlayStation VR game if you have PlayStation's virtual reality headset. Apparently, Sony, not, you know, they're cool with doing stupid crap with their scheduling for their free games, just like Microsoft. Here They Lie is the VR game you're going to get, but it's not just for August. It's not even just for September. It's available until October 2nd. What?
2 months and a day. Like, what? Right.
Well, and it's not actually 2 months because it also didn't start on August 1st. It was like August 7th. I don't understand. Like, Sony makes even less sense than Microsoft here. I didn't think that was possible, but Sony, you win. And then one more game with another crazy schedule here. This one is called Knowledge is Power. It's a trivia game that you actually, like, you get some of your friends together, you sit on the couch, you fire this game up, and you use your phones as like your buzz in and answer sort of thing. So that's using technology that they call PlayStation Link. Again, it's a trivia game available for free here until November 6th. I don't get your scheduling, Sony, but
weird.
Longer access to free games, I guess, is a good thing that we probably shouldn't actually complain about. Okay, so that is it for our gaming news, and I think that's it for our normal news, except you've got some really random story in here, Richard.
I do, and this kind of plays into what we'll be talking about in terms of what's going on in our entertainment centers. I subscribe to an email newsletter from Harry McCracken, and if you don't know who Harry McCracken is, he's a, I guess I would say, a technology journalist or pundit who who often goes by the Technologizer, and that's the name of the newsletter that he has. And he recently wrote a post about how he just over the last 6 months or so took on the task of digitizing his VHS tapes. Yes, VHS tapes. Those things that you used a DVR for. And I have...
You mean a VCR?
VCR. Wow. Right. Yeah,
so that's how you can't even say it anymore.
That's how out of time this is, that term just isn't even in my head anymore. So I have, this should not surprise anybody, right? I have two drawers full of VHS tapes that I won't
am surprised.
Depart with.
I'm surprised that it's only two drawers.
Right, they're big drawers, and I have wanted to do this, but I also believe that it's going to be a whole lot of work because it's real time, and I was kind of put off by trying to digitize my albums, which is another thing that I really want to do, and a lot of people just who have done it are very happy with the results, so I need to do that too. But for VHS tapes, he wrote about his experience, and it's really kind of fascinating because I kind of had the same reaction that you did, which is, at this point, why do you care? The video quality is going to be terrible. Most of the stuff you're going to be able to buy anyway. And what he ends up writing about is how that thing that you were so excited to record, the movie that was on cable or whatever else, that stuff doesn't matter. What's really interesting is live events that you may have recorded for historical purposes, or news that you may have recorded, or sporting events things like just regular television shows and the now 20, 30-year-old commercials that played between them. Stuff that you recorded by accident because you were still recording and forgot to turn it off. All this stuff right. That you have in archive kind of not by accident, but that wasn't the main intent. And how valuable and interesting that stuff is. And if you're just interested in that old old episode of Silver Spoons, you know what? Somebody probably already put that out on YouTube. But what's really interesting is all the stuff that surrounds that. And I think that's fascinating and intriguing. And now I really want to do this. And I don't have time to do this. Well, I mean, you might argue that I do. But this is a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have one, if you're going to do this, I have one phrase that you must remember to do, or else it's going to ruin everything.
Okay.
Please be kind and rewind.
And rewind. Although I really don't need to, because once I record them, I'm never going to play them again.
Right. You can chuck it out the window at that point.
Right. Right. Exactly. So anyway, wow. I thought this was really fascinating. We'll put a link in the show notes to this. This is basically a blog form of his newsletter. And if you're interested in, you know, like an older journalist perspective on technology, I think Harry McCracken is a great guy to follow. He's really smart. When he started his newsletter, I signed up immediately because I've always liked the stuff that he's written and talked about.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, so going on to what's actually going on in my entertainment center. We've been away for 2 weeks, so a lot. Oh, my God, a lot. All right, of course, Big Brother, we're two-thirds of the way through. It's been a really good season. People are playing hard. People are playing big moves. I've really enjoyed this season. I also enjoy just how completely duped a couple of the characters are, or a couple of players are. They don't understand. They just don't get that they're being played. But, you know, it's a game. I finally finished the seasons of Arrow and The Flash that I had not watched, and The Flash redeemed itself in the last two episodes enough that I will watch season 5, but wow, that was a really, really rough season. Continuing on with season 5 of Archer, I finished that, and I am ready to start season 6. Deadwood, I got back to Deadwood because I have... Okay, again, this should not surprise people, right? I listen to Cord Killers, and they have this sideshow, Spoiler in Time, and they watch and talk about old episodes of old series, an archive, or like I forget what they call it, a catalog series that they would watch. And I don't listen to those segments if I haven't watched the episode, but I don't delete the episodes of the show until I watch the episodes of the TV show that they're talking about. And now I have this backlog of Spoiler in Time that I need to get through, and I need to push through on Deadwood. And I can say happily that the next couple of episodes that I watched past the pilot were so much better than the pilot. So If you've been interested in Deadwood, but you found the pilot hard to follow, too much going on, just not really something that caught you, I am very impressed with how quickly the story fleshed out in the following episodes. So something to consider. We are now talking about Game of Thrones season 4. So that is what I am watching these days. Also been watching a lot of Last Week Tonight to kind of balance out the craziness that is the regular US news. And then this random series I talked about before, I think this epic thing where I looked at log cabins and epic boathouses and stuff like that, and most recently watched epic American castles, epic home builds, and epic beach homes. Again, all of these are, I think this is DIY Network. I don't think this is HGTV, but these are builds for homes that you're just never going to be able to afford. I mean, right. I know I'm not. If any of our listeners are, then man, good on you. Because these are like 7-digit homes.
Wow.
At a starting point.
Right.
Like the beach homes that I talked about are or that I was, you know, really impressed with. Well, I should have been really impressed with them because they were all 8-digit homes. You know, nowadays, $1 million for a home isn't that outrageous. I mean, that's what a home is going to cost if you want a house in LA or a market like that, even in DC. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But for, you know, your $53 million beach house, it's interesting to see what that money will buy.
Right.
All right. Also, I was talking about a show, Trial and Error, and how it was taken down from the NBC app as soon as I started watching it. And now I found that it is available to purchase the entire season, that is, for just $10. $10. So I bought season one of Trial and Error because it's really funny. And I've been watching some more of that. $10. Come on. That's like less than a dollar an episode.
$10 on Amazon?
Amazon or iTunes. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a really good deal. I was excited about that. I mentioned that I had started using the TV Time app. I'm trying to keep up with that, but I sometimes forget. But in any event, my name there is R. Gunther. If you're interested in just kind of lurking and seeing what I'm watching, you're welcome to follow me. But let me know, like reach out to me by Twitter or something and let me know what you're going to do that because my account is not open, so I need to let people through, and I'm just not letting random people that I know, or that I don't know, rather.
All right.
Watched a couple of movies, and would you believe that I never saw High School Musical before?
I've never seen it either, so I can actually believe that. I mean, you're not a high schooler, so...
I'm not a high schooler, but I thoroughly enjoyed Glee, and from what I understand, the creators of Glee were kind of inspired by the High School Musical movies. And this was entertaining. You know, it was kind of cool. I have to admit. Also, plus Zac Efron, geez, wow, he's grown up. He was such a kid. He was such a kid. Unbelievable. All right. And also watched a 80-year-old movie, I think.
What? Wow.
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
I've never even heard of this.
Okay, so I've totally heard of it in reference, but I've never actually seen it before. Black and white film, barely an hour long. Kind of cool. I really enjoyed it, actually. And I'm glad I finally saw it. Another movie that I think was made for theater and then decided not to put in the theater called Crooked House. It is available on streaming services, and I believe I saw it on Amazon. If I'm remembering correctly, it's a Glenn Close piece with a really, really good cast. And it is an Agatha Christie murder mystery. So enjoyed that thoroughly and rewatched Wonder Woman just this past weekend because a friend of ours was staying here and she had not seen Wonder Woman before. So I'm like, oh, you have to see this. This is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
One of the best superhero movies released in the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, to wrap up TV, I just want to say a lot of TV means you occasionally skip over or occasionally see a lot of commercials. And I have to confess, I am really looking forward to the new Magnum and the new Murphy Brown.
They're making a new Murphy Brown?
With Candace Bergen.
Wow.
With the whole cast.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. So I am really excited about both of those. And I think the new Magnum looks like it's going to be awesome. So really looking forward to that. Okay. Hopefully they won't ruin it the way they ruined. I can't even think of the series now. MacGyver. Yeah. Terrible. Don't watch it. All right. Two final things.
I think you meant to say Hawaii Five-0.
No, I didn't. No, they made that awesome. Are you kidding me? Oh, that's awesome. All right. Final things. Two things I've been listening to recently. A new podcast called Everything is Alive. This is from one of the, I think it is someone who was a producer at NPR. And he's putting together his own podcast where he interviews inanimate objects. It is so bizarre and so wonderful. I don't even know. The first two episodes are completely different, but incredibly good. So give it a try. Everything is Alive. Search for it. The first two things he interviews are a can of soda. And it only it only ends at its inevitable conclusion. So you should really listen to that. And then he interviews a lamppost in his second episode, where the lamppost explains in all earnest how Singing in the Rain was a movie about a lamppost. And there were these side characters that were dancing around it, but obviously it was the center of attention.
Obviously.
Right. It's hysterical. It's wonderful. You got to give it a try. And a song I've been listening to, if I've played it once, I've played it 100 times in the last week, a song, a fairly new song from Halsey called Alone. It is such a wonderful, huge, heavily orchestrated piece with kind of remnants of the old, like, Rondell's sound from the 50s and 60s kind of thing. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, I am done. That was a lot of stuff.
That was a lot of stuff. And that was just in one week? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, I'll give you a little bit of a break then, since it was 2 weeks of content.
Right.
All right, well, for me, Richard, I did something unusual. I actually watched a movie at home in the last week. And I want to know if you can guess what it was. And I will give you a little bit of context. It's a movie that we talked about very recently on the show.
Okay.
Do you have any idea what it was? Any guesses?
I don't.
Really, really easy to watch, and it didn't cost me a thing. And it's right up my alley.
I still don't.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, right, right, right.
Right, because it was free when I linked my Microsoft account to Movies Anywhere. I was going to watch Logan. I was going to watch it on Plex from you, actually. But yours is the 4K stream. And
oh, yeah, problematic.
Yeah. That didn't work out well at all. that meant that your machine needed to be transcoding it. And I don't think it's quite up to the task of transcoding 4K movies.
Yeah, it's funny because newer films that I have recorded, I've only recorded the 4K versions.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah. So that was a problem. So I still haven't seen Logan, but I did see X-Men Days of Future Past, and it was good. I mean, it's not the greatest action movie or superhero movie ever, but it was good, especially free.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. In terms of gaming, I'm not sure where I was when we last recorded, but I finished The Walking Dead seasons 2 and 3 in the last couple of weeks, the video games here.
Cool.
And just in, well, not actually just in time. I was trying to get them done before season 4 launched, but that was actually last week, and there just wasn't enough time for me to get through 10 episodes of those games before season 4 launched. I'm done with them now, though, so I will be playing season 4, episode 1, the brand new episode, any day now. And spoilers, I guess this will be our first sort of announcement. It's going to be the first episode of the next season of Story Players. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Going to be an interesting season of Story Players for the next one, because we've decided to pick up The Walking Dead, which is an episodic game. It's 5 episodes. And there's
And it's midway in, right? Like, this is the 4th season.
Right.
And you're just kind of assuming everybody's going to be there with you.
Well, hopefully. It's the 4th and final season of the storyline. So, yeah, hopefully everybody's made it through. If not, just watch some YouTube catch-up videos. It's fine. And we're also going to be doing of course, the next season of Life is Strange. That'll come out. The first episode of that comes out at the end of September. So we're going to be doing 2 episodic games for this season. And I don't remember which listener it was. He's no longer my favorite listener.
What?
He convinced Joe to get me to play a horror game for our October release.
Oh.
And I don't know about you, but I don't really like being scared, but we're going to play a horror game for October for Halloween, right? So
it seems appropriate.
I'm a little nervous. Yeah. I would say the name of it, but I keep messing it up because since I don't play horror games, I get all of their names confused. Right. It's a PlayStation game, really popular. Yeah. So something scary on PlayStation 4 that came out last year or the year before. I don't know. So it's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be lots of different options and decisions that you have to make that will impact who lives and who dies in this horror game. So it sounds like I was going to say fun, but it doesn't at all sound like fun because I don't like being scared. So we'll see. That'll come in October. And then I actually wanted to mention a mobile game that I've been playing a ton. I don't generally play a lot of mobile games.
Right.
I can't stop playing Golf Star. I don't know why, but I love golf games on mobile. Just
are
on
you
mobile.
Living vicariously? Do you want to be a golf star?
I don't think so. I've tried golfing a few times in real life and I'm terrible at it. I think most people are terrible at it, but I'm terrible to the point where it's not fun. But for some reason I like golf mobile games and Golf Star I like. So if you're looking for a fun golf mobile game, check it out and let me know, because I think you can like play against friends and stuff like that too. So maybe we can play some Golf Star together. I don't know. It's
very
fun.
Cool.
I like it. All right, that's it for what's been going on in my entertainment center and for all of our news. So before we get out of here, some quick hits on our contact information. We're on Twitter. Richard is Richard Gunther. I'm Josh Pollard. And the website is Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone. We've got email addresses, Facebook pages, all that other stuff. You can find all of that on the show notes instead of me going through all of that here. But we do like to mention the other podcast that we do. I already mentioned Story Players. That'll be back soon. Richard, you've got another podcast you do called Home On, about home automation and smart home stuff. What's going on with Home On?
I do. And breaking my cycle of ridiculously long gaps between episodes, I have a new episode releasing this week already with one of the folks from Universal Devices. Universal Devices, the maker of the ISY Hub. I mentioned before, this was really the most requested vendor guest that I get asks from listeners. So I was very excited to get someone on. And it's a little bit of a rough one to edit because we talked too long. Again, we talked for an hour and 45 minutes, and holy I need cow. To get that down to an hour. So it's taken some time. And then coming up next, I was supposed to record this actually this past weekend, but they needed to reschedule. I am talking with one of the founders and the CTO of Lifex. He's located in Australia. So when I'm talking to him at that moment, it'll be tomorrow for him.
Right. Yikes. Scheduling that must be lots of fun.
It has been challenging, but we have a new scheduled time lined up next week. And then following that, we'll have our episode from Cedia. I'm now talking three episodes out. The episode from Cedia will be recorded actually live in the Z-Wave Alliance booth. They are sponsoring the episode, and they are going to be providing us with space to do our interviews live on site.
Nice. Very nice. That makes it fun and a different kind of challenging.
Yeah, we'll see how well that goes. It may be live in quotation marks. We'll see.
Right. All right. Well, that is going to do it for episode 456. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.